Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I am your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I am delighted to welcome back to the show the Sean Moffitt. Sean was here with me in July, and we had so much to talk about that I kind of begged him to come back and, you know, come back on the show, and I'm sure I'll do it again. He is a great, great interview, has a lot of information to share. So sales excellence and sales success are Sean's passion, and developing those traits in others is his mission. Through years of dominating the marketplace in his field, Sean has identified the three things individuals and organizations need to do to force themselves, force themselves into sales mediocrity. And by the way, if you think as a solopreneur, you know, web developer, virtual assistant, online business manager, whatever it is that you're doing as a solopreneur, if you think for a moment that you are not in sales, think again. And Sean's going to talk to us about that. So be sure to look for our earlier interview. Sean, welcome back, and thank you so much for being here today. And I know you were in a panic because I showed up after you did. I'm so sorry. It wouldn't let me in.
Well, that's okay. Thank you for having me back, Denise. It's a total honor and pleasure. I love your show, and I'm grateful to be able to be on it. And no, I was actually at 12 o'clock when I didn't hear your lovely voice. I was actually starting to text you. But no, I'm glad to be here, and everything's great.
Well, normally, you know, we chat a little bit in my virtual green room, and I kept trying to dial in. Blog Talk Radio has been experiencing some problems. And, you know, I didn't anticipate it, but I didn't expect it either. But right at the time I was supposed to be there, I was like, oh, God. I mean, I was doing some heavy-duty panting. So,
I understand.
Here we are.
The Moffitt Message Live, we've had that happen before, too, where right as we're about to go live, the entire system just drops us out. And so I totally get it and not to worry, and I'm happy to be here.
Well, I'm so glad you're here. The last time you were here, we just talked up a storm, and you gave so much information. And I do want to circle back to a lot of that, but you know, some of the thoughts that we didn't quite finish. But anyway, before we get too far in the weeds with that, can you tell our audience a little bit about you and where they can find you on the web?
Absolutely. My name is Sean Moffitt, and I am the leader of the Excellence Movement. And the Excellence Movement is about changing the world with a level of excellence in sales and excellence in life. And people can find me on the web at themoffittcompany.com. And I'm actually rebuilding my site right now, so I'm about to come out with a brand new site very shortly in the next probably 8 to 10 days called theseanmoffitt.com. So look for that. You can also find me on Twitter at @TheSeanMoffitt, on YouTube at Sean Moffitt, and on Facebook at @TheSeanMoffitt. So any place, Google Plus, you can find me there too. So anywhere you engage, I'll see you.
Well, tell the audience very quickly how you became the Sean Moffitt, because I think that's one of the funniest stories.
Oh my goodness! That funny story never seems to ever lose its legs, and I love telling it. So I was sitting. I heard about this thing called Twitter in 2009. It would have been, and I mean, I was I'm in Canada, so in Canada we're a little we're not as aggressive with the social media thing, maybe as our friends just south of the border might be, but we're catching on. So in 2009, I'm sitting at my desk and I'm hearing about this Twitter thing and I'm like, oh, I got to sign up. So I signed up with @SeanMoffitt. And then, you know, I was doing my thing and I sort of signed in and forgot all of my information. forgot my password, forgot what email I had linked to it. And so when I went back to, you know, reset the password, it would send the email to an address that I wasn't using anymore. So I just couldn't get in. I thought, oh, no. So I was like, okay, well, what could I do? So later on, when I went to re-engage Twitter in 2010, I couldn't remember anything that I had done before on Twitter. So I went back to get get Sean Moffitt, and it was taken. I'm like, how can Sean Moffitt be taken? It's such a, you know, not an everyday name. So I thought, okay, what can I do for Sean Moffitt? And I was like, how about the Sean Moffitt? I was like, yeah, because then if there's another Sean Moffitt already, I don't want to be that Sean Moffitt. I want to be this Sean Moffitt. So I'm the Sean Moffitt, and I never forgot it because I started tweeting like a maniac after that. And come to find out, I was the one that was Sean Moffitt as well. So I do have both handles. I just don't use the other one. I think there's even an egg avatar there. If you go to look at it, I think it's an egg avatar. That's me in my silliness not being able to remember the fact that I actually already did something. But, you know, some stories are fun because, you know, if it weren't for that, then, you know, I may not be the Sean
Moffitt. You wouldn't have branded yourself. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So
but I have to admit, they do. I have to admit, you're not alone. I've done things like that. So. I guess that's why I get such a kick out of that story, because I'm like, oh, God, been there, done that.
Yeah, and I move so fast, right, that sometimes I can't even figure out. Like, for instance, I was talking with my web guy the other day, the guy that's developing my website, and, you know, we talk maybe, you know, every 3-4 weeks, and he gives me this package of stuff to do to develop and blah, 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 blah. And then I call him back, and every time he talks to me, he's like, man, you move so fast. The stuff that we talked about 4 weeks ago is like passe and gone, and now you want this new stuff. And so, you know, it doesn't surprise me that I can't remember my own Twitter handle at times.
Well, here's a tip. Open up an Excel spreadsheet and put everything in there.
That's a great idea. I don't have Excel, but I should get that.
Oh, no. Listen, I do that for myself. I've got pages and pages. My passwords have gone. Yeah, I mean, they're just crazy. But for every one of my clients, you know, they'll hand me off this document that's just, you know, it's a stream of consciousness, so to speak. Like, oh, I think it's this one. I think it's this one. And I'm not having that, I'm telling you. My time is valuable. So I create an Excel spreadsheet for each one of my clients. And at the end of a website build, they get that document and everything is in there. You know, the URL for them to get to where they, like Twitter, Facebook, whatever. You know, the password, their... If there's a keyword, if there, you know, it's all in there. So all they have to do is open that document. It just makes life a lot easier.
That does sound like a real easy plan. Wow, see,
you're not gonna do it, are you?
No, probably not. But that's why I need a virtual assistant, because then I could just have somebody do all that for me.
That's right.
And have it looked after. Because you know, ever since our last conversation, I've been thinking a lot about that virtual assistant. So maybe we should talk about that too.
There you go. Well, and I would love to talk with you about that. But listen, before everybody gets too far ahead, make sure you go back and listen to our earlier interview, because it really was a good one. You can find it on yourpartnerinsuccessradio.com. You can do a keyword search in Blog Talk Radio for Sean Moffitt, and he'll pop up. So what are we going to talk about today? I know we left off, I think, about the excellence movement, which to me is just a fascinating topic. So tell our audience a little bit about the excellence movement and what you're up to, because I know you're up to some pretty cool things with that.
Yeah, the excellence movement is something that I sort of thought there have been all kinds of different movements in the world and in history. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I guess maybe the beginning or the genesis of this was that I was just so fed up and sick and tired of salespeople, number one, not being trained, not being led to greatness in their profession, not doing sort of everything that they could do to ensure that sales grew out of that stigma, that Herb Tarlick kind of gun click, you know, slick whatever sort of thing that we've been stigmatized with.
Right.
And at the same time, in my research of sales and in my love of selling, what I learned was that in studying the greatest salespeople in the world, the types of salespeople that, you know, Bob Berg would refer to in The Go-Giver or The Go-Giver Salesman, you know, those kinds of people, the Pindar kind of level guys, that there is absolutely something that kind of draws a line in all of them, and that as they excel in sales, they also excel in life, because the tenets of sales excellence, putting others first, going the extra mile, providing value that's humongously larger than the investment made by the client, ensuring
right.
that you're always investing in them and their best interests, are also tenets of living an excellent life. And so I thought, okay, there are a bunch of people, and I could tell by, you know, the follows on Twitter and the feedback and the website and the engagements and the speaking, you know, the way that people were connecting with the message, I knew that people were ready for a change. And I thought, if I'm going to change the world of selling from what it's been stigmatized to be to the great profession and economy building and, frankly, economy saving profession
yeah.
that it is,
yeah.
Then there's got to be something to rally behind. Because, you know, Simon Sinek wrote a book called Start With Why. Great writer from New York City, talks about amazing things. And he really put language to the kinds of things that I had been thinking for a long time, which was this: people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And
mm-hmm.
and in sales, far too often, we have been, and when I say we, I mean salespeople, and this is the solopreneur that you've been talking about,
right.
the retail salesperson, the real estate agent, the insurance agent, anybody who is in business of some kind is selling. Whether you're pitching your idea to a board that, you know, that you're working with, or you feel like you're just a small little cog in the wheel, you are selling something to someone at some point. And the thing is that people don't buy what you do, yet as a sales industry, For as long as I can remember, we have been taught and told, hey, look, start with what you do and what you're going to do for the buyer and you know what's going to happen and you know what this and that and what the start with the result. But the fact is that of the matter is that people don't buy the result. What people do is they align with why you do things. And so the excellence movement is about inspiration, action, and results. And let me share what I mean by that, if I could.
Mm-hmm.
The excellence movement is about inspiring your buyer to why you are there for their best interest. Inspiring them that as the two of you align, your reason for being in sales and their reason for looking for some kind of product, whether it's, you know, a product or service or whatever it might be, that because you're talking about the inspiration behind why you're doing it, it begins to align. You begin to build a relationship. You begin to create that like between one another.
Mm-hmm.
And once that like has been established through inspiration, because people buy why you do what you do, not what you do, you then can begin to move towards the action of solving the problems or situations that your buyer has, whatever they might be. Because really, selling at the end of the day is about solving a problem. Regardless of what the sale is, it's about being a problem solver. And when yeah. I can take action in your best interest to solve the problem or situation that you might have, you begin as a buyer to believe in me. And once I can move from creating this like, this relationship through inspiration, and sharing with you how I'm going to act in your best interest on your behalf to solve your problem, I then can move to what the result is rather than beginning with it. I can also set an expectation for the buyer and overachieve on that expectation. And so when I provide the result of the inspiration and the action, I build trust. And when someone likes me and believes in me and trusts me, they ultimately buy from me. And they mm-hmm. buy from me because I've created a result that is greater than their expectation. And I build an advocate for my brand, for my product, for my service, for what I'm doing. And often these people are willing to reinvest because the value that they receive from me and from that excellence experience is 100 times greater than any investment that they could make in the solving of their problem.
I'm just sitting here in awe. I mean, you're saying everything that I already know. You've literally described how I conduct business, but I could not have spelled it out like that. I couldn't be that eloquent.
Well, thank you.
I mean, that was
so
just brilliant.
That's the excellent, and I'm so pleased to hear, and I know that you're great at what you do, and it's the reason why you're a leader in the industries that you're in, and you influence people all of the time. And it's amazing to me that all of the people who I've spoken to who are leaders and excellent in what they do, people like yourself, have said that same thing. Hey, wow, yeah, that's exactly how I already think. Mm-hmm. I get that. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And so yeah. I know that there is a movement of people out there that are looking to take what they do from not from mediocrity, frankly, not that you are, but from mediocrity mm-hmm. to the level of excellence that those of us who are already feeling this natural, this is how we do business, engagement, and that will change the world when it happens. And I'm out here trying to promote that in any form or fashion I can.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this, because I know a lot of what sales techniques that exist out there now, to me, could be the result of just poor training or overtraining.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Can you be trained, though, to be kind of a go-giver? And I had Bob Berg on the show last week, and I asked him kind of the same thing. Can you reverse years of really crummy training and train yourself
yes.
to be a more compassionate kind of a giver and sharer?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we're mm-hmm. taught not, in the corporate world, Sean, we're taught not to share a whole lot.
That's right.
You know, you lock
That's
down
right.
your desk. You don't, if you're visiting in the coffee room, it's just you're talking about soap operas. You're not talking mm-hmm. about anything in the business if you're smart, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a whole different mind shift. Do you come across people who just go, I don't think I can do that way, and then they bloom out and just become
yes.
brilliant beyond their own training, I guess? I'm struggling with
yes.
how to describe my thought processes to you.
I think I understand what you're saying. I think what you're asking is it possible to take someone who's been trained in a certain way to fit into this old-fashioned, long-gone kind of way of doing business and reframe what selling could be and have them really experience the benefits of it? I think that's what you're asking.
That's exactly what I'm asking, because I see so many, you know, especially in my industry, Sean, people, virtual assistants, you know, online business managers do better because they're better trained. But there's a huge difference, by the way, for our listeners, between a virtual assistant and OBM. That's a whole other show. But people who are coming into this industry are struggling, and they're taking a lot of their old sales training and they're trying to apply it to being a solopreneur, and they're failing. Because they're
work.
Not doing, it doesn't work. And they just don't know why it doesn't work. And it's a huge problem for solopreneurs.
It doesn't work because people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And people want
right.
to align with people.
Right.
Yes, I absolutely believe in my soul that people can be retrained. Here's why. Because people who want to do well can look in the mirror and say, I know that I'm afraid of this. I know this is new. I know this is different, but I believe in myself.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest changes and growth that I've seen, especially in my mentoring clients, there are three sort of pillars of my business. And one of them is speaking. One of them is corporate training. And one of them is personal mentoring. And so I have a number of clients who come to me when, you know, they want to be part of the excellence movement. They really want to see growth from this kind of old school way to how sales actually really happen. And every one of them, without question, comes in with this old mentality of mm-hmm. what selling is and how it works. And usually I get mentoring clients when they are at the end of their rope.
I would imagine.
Yeah, and they're saying, I don't know what to do anymore. The old, the way that I knew how to do things doesn't work. I don't know what happened. And it was working great until about 2009, 2010, and now what I used to do doesn't work anymore, and I don't know what to do. And typically what happens is there's a rebuilding process that has to take place, much like you would renovate a home. You wouldn't renovate a home from the outside in. You would renovate a home from the bottom up, from the foundation. You would renovate the foundation. You would renovate the plumbing. You would renovate the electrical systems. You would then the walls. You would tear those down, rebuild the insulation, rebuild the drywall or the rock board or whatever you call it in the U.S. We call it drywall up here.
Drywall,
and then you would
here,
replace. Yeah, then you would replace the windows and the flooring and the accoutrement and the roof and and you would build this thing back out new and different. And that's exactly what we need to do in the world of sales and training. And so often it's not just about, reading a book or getting CDs, which is very important. Fill your mind with great, great stuff as often as possible. And I know you do this. You're a reader, and I know you are. We've talked about that before. But, fill your mind. But it's not just about reading a catchy book or whatever the best new thing is. It's about investing in yourself to a level that a professional would invest. It's not just that, if Tiger Woods needs to rebuild his golf swing, he doesn't just go on the Golf Channel, watch a 30-minute show from Hank Haney and figure he could change his golf swing. He actually gets someone to work with him every single day for 8 hours to rebuild a swing. A swing? A golf swing? This is the greatest golfer who's ever lived, arguably. And he's rebuilding his swing in order to improve. Well, if we learned how to sell based on, the way we thought selling happened, the way that, we were maybe taught corporately, or this five-part DVD series where we get locked in a dark room where we have to watch videos for 8 hours, and then, we're thrown out into the lion's den, and it's sink or swim, and so you're doing anything that you can to create a result rather than an experience, then of course it needs to be rebuilt. But at the end of the day, we have to, as sales and business people, we have to look in the mirror and say, I am worth more than the investment I'm making in myself now, and I'm worth more than the investment that's been made in me to this point, and own and take charge of becoming excellent in your field.
That is absolutely brilliant. And you said something earlier, I scratched it down while you were talking, that you're noticing that people started having problem with sales or the old types of sales around 2002, 9 and 10. And I have a theory about that, and I bet you do too. And that was about the time social media marketing came into play. People started building relationships as opposed to, putting up a page and saying, this is what I do, contact me, I'll work for you. Social media marketing, I think, has a great deal, this is my opinion, has a great deal of it's made changes in how we operate. What do you think?
I completely agree with you. I think two things happened right at that time. The first thing that happened was the death, if I may say it this way, the death of old school business. In October of 2008, the world as we knew it ended.
Okay.
And that was the economic crisis that happened and is still reverberating around the globe now.
It has never gone away. Yeah, I don't care what anybody says. It has not gone away.
No. Political, whatever aside, there is another tsunami coming, and it's currently churning in Europe. But with that said, that happened, and that leveled everyone. And then because it leveled everyone, at the same time, the onset of social media came in. And social media did two things. Number one, it also leveled the playing field so that relational input and value was not able to be purchased, but it was based upon expertise, level of give, ability to be out there making a better way of doing things socially. And so that levels, it doesn't matter if you're Coca-Cola on Twitter, because Coca-Cola can't buy enough impact on Twitter to be recognized as a leader socially. The people who are making a difference, who are building followings and growing followings, are the ones who are actually having an impact. And frankly speaking, if you are buying your social media feed, that's great. I think that's fantastic. Because here's the other thing. If you're buying it and you don't have any content that's valuable for the universe, you will lose what you've bought.
So no kidding.
Regardless of how you build your content, if it's great, you will get followership and impact in the social universe. And if you don't, you won't. So it levels the playing field. The other thing that it does.
It allows people like you or me. I mean, I'm a solopreneur. I work out of a dedicated office in my home. You have an office, I believe, in your home. I don't have to drive to go anywhere. I'm not sure why I have a car, to be honest with you. But I make a lot of waves, and I'm able to do it because of everything that you're describing.
That's right. And the other thing that it does is that this is where ingenuity, brilliance, effort, action, thinking come into play. And those of us like you and me and the balance of the people who are going to create the next economy, we don't have the dollars that Facebook, that Coca-Cola, that Apple, that General Motors, that the big, enormous companies have to do marketing. And so what we know to be true, and you know this, is that the traditional ways of marketing yourself in the newspaper, on television, on radio, no longer work.
Benches in the park, right.
Yeah,
right.
They don't work.
Yellow Pages, Yellow Pages should be just out of business. I don't get why
they should be. They should be. And because the other thing that's true is that the place where we now get our information, where we connect, where we get influenced, where we see things immediately is in the palm of our hand.
That's right.
And if our messages mine is excellence in sales and excellence in life. And if I can put that message in the palm of your hand, I get share of mind when you click on and follow me on Twitter, on Facebook, on Google+, you watch my YouTube channel. When I have engaged your smartphone and I have a share of your mind there, I can then get a share of market when you begin to follow regularly and engage me.
Right.
You know, maybe at some point you're like, well, I could use that training, or I could use that mentoring, or we should bring Sean in to speak to our group or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Or I know somebody who needs that training, so you get referrals.
Yeah.
Because you
become
a referrals. Resource for this person.
Exactly.
Right?
And it's free. And so if they engage that, then I get a share of market, because now I'm moving the share of mind to share of market, which ultimately becomes a share of wallet, which allows business to happen, which is a great thing. But I need to do that without spending any money, because I don't have the resources that Apple does or some of these other large advertisers. So you are absolutely right, Denise. That is a very long way for me to answer your question of do you agree that it changed, social media changed in 2009 and 10. I totally do, and I believe that the leveling of the economy in 2008 was a great springboard for what's happening moving forward.
Well, you know, in every recession, depression, dip in the economy, whatever you want to call it, there have historically always been people who will come out the other side much better off than they were probably even to start with, because they dug down deep and went, well, that didn't work, or whoa, that hurt, so now let's go do something different. And they engage in life. They engage their thought processes. They look around. They see how they can be of assistance to other people, and I think that's a huge key. You know, it can't be about you. You have to be of assistance. You have to be a resource. You have to be kind and compassionate. Can you get irritable? Yep, I do it all the time. Doesn't mean I'm not going to help you. And I think that true entrepreneurs and people who don't even know that they're entrepreneurs, this is the kind of thing that brings out the best in so many of us.
Without question. Without question. And it happened to me. I mean, I started my company in 2009. And by the middle of 2010, I was looking in the mirror going, what did I do? What did I do? Because I took, and I believe that there are lots of people like this, and lots of your listeners, and people who are engaged, trying their hardest, trying their guts out to make it work in whatever entrepreneurial endeavor they're doing, because you can't, there is no security in, you know, the 9-to-5 job that there used to be. There isn't any.
No, hasn't been for decades, really.
Exactly. Look around. It's not happening. Yeah. And so many of us are going, okay, well, now it's time to make our own way. And we try really hard, and we do so much, and we still use this framework and mindset that maybe we've never even figured out how to do business or learned or anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my failure was I engaged the marketplace of training, and I was absolutely obscure in the market. Nobody knew who I was. I mean, the people who knew me knew who I was, but I didn't do any kind of marketing because I couldn't afford it, traditional marketing. I hadn't really engaged social media as a way to get my message out. Mm-hmm. I wanted to give great value, but the only way that I knew how to build a business in sales was knocking on doors. And did I do it? Absolutely. Was it brutally difficult? Yes. Did I get some traction? Yes. But not the kind of traction that I needed to build a business that could sustain the kind of lifestyle, number one, that I was living. That I,
you mean like
that
a roof over your head type of thing?
Yeah, but even more than that.
I mean, some people say, I just need to pay my rent. It's like, oh, geez.
Yeah, and I needed to pay my rent. I needed to buy groceries. I needed to do a lot of other things. And I had come out of a marketplace job where, you know, I was doing very well. And it's not easy, let's be real, it's not easy to move out of the marketplace and a lifestyle that affords in a six-figure kind of way and start your own thing from scratch without capital and then also while you're hurting on the side of, you know, banging on doors every day and being rejected, not wanting to go home in your nice car to, you know, and go out for a nice meal and, you know, try and do whatever. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I did. And I think other people, if they were honest with themselves, probably would suggest they did the same thing too. So,
yeah, you're right. I mean, it is difficult, and you work very long hours when you're on your own.
Like, I deserve it, and I whatever. And so
you don't deserve it until you earn it. That's my attitude.
I agree with you. But a lot of us on late on a Friday, you know, when the soles of our feet are hurting and our knuckles are red because we've been banging on doors, you know, we go, I don't want to make dinner, right? And we go and buy it, and, you know, we treat ourselves, and then we get further down the hole. So, you know, I was looking in the mirror in 2010 going, how am I going to do this? And realized that, you know, if I was going to do this, I had to do it differently, and I had to find alternative streams to not only get my message out, but alternative ways to do business so that I could not just have one singular stream, which was sort of corporate training at the time, but I needed to engage speaking because that was something I could do, and I needed to engage mentoring because that's something I could do and teach people, you know, the I have a friend of mine, probably my closest friend, who has a phrase, a saying, and it's brilliant. He's like, look, I've paid enough stupid tax in my life that would cover the stupid tax for everybody in the world. So let me ask you something. He says this to his mentoring and coaching clients. He says, let me ask you something. Do you want to continue to pay the stupid tax yourself, or do you want to pay me a minor percentage of your stupid tax and look at my receipts?
Wow.
And I'm like, wow, that is brilliant. What a close. That's amazing.
No,
but he's right.
Kidding.
You know, he's right. And so to the entrepreneurs out there, if you're in fencing, get in fencing and decking and landscape art. You know, if you're in virtual assistants, get into virtual assistants and a couple of other related things that you do very well and
web
development.
Yeah, exactly.
Expand a little bit so that you can begin to engage buyers, not only just in that one thing, but you've got multiple streams of places that you can go. If you're
a trainer,
get a book out and do your training and start speaking about what you're doing and maybe, you know, figure something else out that you can do. Or if you're in social media marketing, learn how to be an expert not only in Twitter or in Facebook or in Google+ or in this or that. Learn how to be an expert in all of them and grow streams of income so that you're not relying solely just on that one thing that's coming in.
And the problem with doing something like that, particularly online, if you're just focusing on one arena, one area, let me tell you something, technology changes all the time. I mean, something that you may have become an expert in very quickly, you know, like let's just say you took a one shopping cart class and now all of a sudden you're an expert in one shopping cart. Most of the big entrepreneurs are going to Infusionsoft. You better jump on it. You know, there's a lot of different social media that are just, they're gone now. So if you haven't kept abreast of all of the changes, you know, Google may have bought up some of them just disappeared. Dig had problems that they were gone. I think they might be trying to come back. You need to self-educate all of the time. And this is a problem that I find with new entrepreneurs is they're focusing on what they already know, but they will say, oh, I just can't afford to, you know, get further education. Yes, you can. And you must.
Yeah.
There's a
you
lot of free stuff out
to.
There. You can't, exactly. And here's what I do. I've always done it, and I continue to do it, no matter how successful my companies are or aren't. It doesn't matter. I get up every morning between 4 and 5, and I either go for a walk with my dog, depending on what the weather is like. Once I get back in, I spend a dedicated 2 hours before I touch my computer. I mean, before I do a lick of work, I take those 2 hours, and that is my education time, period. Period.
Yeah.
And I don't give it up for anybody or anything. Those 2 hours,
perfect.
I might be listening to, you know, an interview with you. I might be listening to A Year of Success with Bob Berg and Larry Wingate. I might be listening to some of Brandon Bouchard's, you know, programs. It doesn't matter. I've got a lot of different things, Money DNA with Melanie Benson-Streck. I've got a lot of things that I do that show me how to be a better person, a better entrepreneur, a better employer. And I don't give that up. Some of it's free. Some of it I pay big money for. But those 2 hours are never given away.
And I would ask my clients often, I say, what is the greatest investment you can make? And they'll often say, well, you know, you want to invest in bonds, or you want to invest in real estate, or you want to invest in gold, or you want to invest in your family, or you want to invest in... I'm like, okay, that's all great, but you're wrong.
It's all very lofty, but it's not correct, is it?
The greatest investment you can make is in yourself.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, bonds ain't going to pay your paycheck. Gold ain't going to pay your paycheck. Real estate is not going to pay your paycheck unless you're selling it, and you better invest in how to sell it excellently.
Right.
Your family is not going to pay your paycheck. There are things that you must do, and that investment in yourself, in elevating your skill set to the level of excellence, is absolutely essential. The greatest of the great... I read this somewhere. The greatest of the great leaders read up to 60 books a year. 60 books a year.
Oh, I believe that.
And I thought,
and that may be low. I mean,
and it might be.
That may
be
a low level, yeah.
So I made it my goal to read a book a week. Now, how do I read a book a week? People ask me this all the time. And I say there are two ways. The first thing you have to do to be able to read a book a week is to get interested in stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And get interested in more than just what's happening on the TV, what's happening on the Twitter feed. All those things are important, but get interested in things, okay? Number two, once you're interested in things, start to figure out who are the experts in the things that I'm doing. And if you're in real estate, who are the real estate experts? Who are the sales experts? Who are the marketing experts? Who are the relational experts? And start reading their stuff. Then I say, figure out how you best learn. Because look, we don't all learn the same way.
No,
now,
not
for
at
you,
all.
For you, you may, Denise, enjoy sitting down and getting into the pages
yeah.
of a book and just feeling it, right?
You, I love the way
love
they smell.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? People love that. And if that's you, buy the flipping book and own it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're buying a $30 book and you're worried about the fact that it's $30, you got bigger problems. I look at a $30 book and I go, that is a $1 million investment. Because somewhere
right.
in this $30 book, there is a $1 million piece of information that's going to change my life, and I read every single one of them to try and find it. So if you're a reader, then read the
right.
thing, and then I hear, well, I don't have enough time. Yes, you do. Stop making
yes,
excuses.
You do. Yes,
stop
you
making
do.
Excuses, and we'll talk about that later. But look, not everybody is a reader.
No.
And if you're like me, who literally has trouble reading the words on a page the right way, then there are these amazing things called audiobooks.
Right.
And I know for sure, anyone who I've ever met who's like me, who struggles actually reading a book because of the way that reading happens in your brain, all of us, and the people who are listening who are not readers, know this is true, that what happens is our auditory memory actually
mm-hmm.
increases, and we begin to be able to hear things once, and then boom, it just kind of sticks in our brains. And so there are these amazing things called audiobooks that you put on your iTunes or on your phone or on your MP3 player. And what I do is I listen to audiobooks all day long. I listen to them all the time, in the car, in my office, in my house.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I listen to, and I can't buy them fast enough because I rip through them, and then I listen to them again, and they're always there. And so if I'm on a call...
And you always pick up something new when you hear it again,
yes.
too, or read
yeah,
it
so
again.
I'm going to see a client, and the client's 45 minutes away from my office. I don't turn on the radio. I listen to a book, and something in that book, in that 45 minutes, every single time, there's just this brilliant nugget of information that allows me to be at my best when I go and have that opportunity to meet that client or make that sales call or go in and make that presentation. So whether you're a reader or you're more apt to listening, commit to excellence for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
For excellence in your business and excellence in your life, and begin to fill your brain with the kinds of transformational things that can actually grow you. And that kind of leads back to that question before where you said, can people be retrained? Yes, they have to want to be retrained.
Right, and they have to invest in the time. And
for sure.
You know, you have to just say, I'm going to do this. People go on diets all the time. They may be dead broke, but they're going to find that money for that vacation to Disneyland. You can do what
mm-hmm.
you want to do if you are dedicated enough and if you believe in yourself. And I think this is just my observation, Sean, but I think so many people just say, oh, I can't do it. And, boy, that's embedded in their brain, and that's the end of it. So you can
well, you
do
become,
it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Earl Nightingale said, you become what you think about, which was a bit
yeah.
of a takeoff of Napoleon Hill, you know. And,
yeah, Napoleon Hill, right.
And so you become what you think about. And if you think you can't, you can't. I mean, even Yoda said it.
Mm-hmm.
Do or do not do. There is no try, right?
Right.
You become what you think about. And if you think you can't do something, you not only can't do it, but you won't do it.
Right.
I put out a video on my YouTube channel a little while ago. Got a ton of reaction. And it was about you will never achieve your try. You will never achieve your should do. If you, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try to do that,
right.
you know, or I really should do this, I really should, you know, get this training, do this thing, lose this weight, get a little more healthy, I really should, you know, spend more time with my family. You'll never achieve your tries or your should do's. You always will achieve your must do's.
Mm-hmm.
When you commit to yourself, to your own improvement, to the life that you want, when you commit to that and say, I will do this,
there's no turning back.
And I want to do this is important too.
Yeah.
You know, I want to do this. I am dying to do this.
Yeah, I will do. You'll achieve your will do's. You won't achieve your try to's.
Yeah.
You will
I learned that. Yeah.
Your must do's. You won't achieve your should's. And so, you know, as it relates to business, because this is kind of where we launched from, all of us are in business in some way. There isn't anyone who is not in business of some kind, even those of us who are unemployed. We must get into the business of getting employed.
Right,
And if we
that means sales. That means your resume is a sales document.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, your first date is a sales. I mean, you know, we're all in sales. And as much as we want to resist that dreaded word sales, and, you know, I've had several people over the years tell me, oh, my God, Denise, you're the best natural salesperson I've ever met. I mean, my instant reaction was like, get away from me. It's like, you know, I didn't want to be tainted by that, but I've came to realize that I am. I'm my own best advocate, which means that I am my own best salesperson.
That's right. We are all, now here I'm going to say something controversial, okay, so turn the microphone up. We are all born salespeople.
Yeah.
We are all born salespeople. Anyone who has ever spent time with a child under the age of 7 knows that we are all born salespeople.
Right.
And at some point in our, because I'll tell you, I have children, and my children are master closers. They negotiate, they cajole, they close, they pitch, they are relentless, they follow up, they ask for referrals. I mean, these kids are freaks, and this is just the way it is naturally for them. They come out now.
Right.
When they're born, they need to eat, sleep, and poop, right? But once they get to the point that they can communicate, they are salespeople. And we in society, myself included, begin to socialize that selling out of them. And we are all naturally sales-focused. We've just got to, at some point, realize, hey, look, I was born like this. Baby, I was born this way. I wrote a blog for Susan Baranchini Mo for her Business in Blue Jeans site.
I read it.
Called Baby, You're Born This Way, right? And it's true. We were born this way. At some point, we realized that we didn't want to be like that because we didn't want to be perceived as mean or pushy. Overbearing or slick or, you know, whatever the sort of social convention around selling is. We didn't want to be perceived that way. And I'm here to say we don't have to be perceived that way because great salespeople aren't that way. And neither are you. Anyone who is listening to this right now, who wants to improve their selling ability, their business, their life, you're not that way. You are not that way. Because the people who are that way don't care to be different. They don't want to be different. And those of us in business who do want to make a difference through sales and to change the world, the economy, and what we're doing towards excellence for our business, towards great reputations, towards world-class experiences, towards that excellence in sales and excellence in life, we aren't that way if we're already moving towards that. You don't have to be concerned that you'd be seen like that because you're not.
I agree, and you're absolutely right. And you know what I find fascinating? You're using words that I hear from a client of mine who is, he's huge in the fitness industry. He's got a big summit coming on right now where we're building the website. And his words that he uses all of the time, and the words that I'm hearing you use, are world-class and impact. And those are such important words.
They are because, you know, there are one of my training sessions, I tell a story about the fact that and this may be a consciousness for a lot of people, but my grandfather used to be in sales. And he wouldn't tell us stories about his selling experiences. He would tell us stories about the Cadillac salesman. And and we still talk about this now in our family, like 60-something, maybe, 60 years later. Because these were stories that he used to tell to my mother, who's a senior citizen now. So anyway, we would would be around the table, and he would tell us about this Cadillac salesman who he used to, my grandfather used to call him up and say, you know, I'd like this style of Cadillac in this color, get it ready for me and bring it over to the house. And the salesman would get it ready and bring it over to the house. And, you know, the two of them would share a drink together. And, you know, those were the days, right? They would share a drink together and go over the Cadillac. And my grandfather would do this every year. And the point of the story is that the experience that my grandfather had buying that Cadillac from that Cadillac salesman in downtown Toronto was so good that it has lasted in my family's experience for decades. That's
wow.
A world-class experience. That's a level of impact that has now transcended that salesperson. I don't know what his name was, and I'm sure he's long passed. But he was so dedicated to the best interest and experience of my grandfather that my grandfather had enough trust to just call the guy and buy a Cadillac over the phone. Right? And your customers, my customers, are looking to do the same thing with us. They're looking
right.
for those experiences, those world-class situations that have a level of impact that can transcend that singular experience and can be the kind of thing you talk about around the dinner table for years. And salespeople and business people out there who are listening to this right now, that's the kind of experience you want to create, because that is recession-proof.
I'm speechless. And, Sean, that never happens to me.
And
that
it should.
Is brilliant.
It should. And when we do experience that level of experience with someone else, when we are on the receiving end of that as buyers, because we're all buyers too, don't we go back to those places? Don't we tell people about it?
Yeah.
Don't we stop caring as much about the cost? We
go to
the places
Absolutely.
That we go to, not because it's the lowest possible price. The places that we consistently go to over and over and over again that we build relationships in because of how it makes us feel.
It's
we can't
experience.
Even put words to it.
Right,
it hits
right.
us in a part of our brain that doesn't even have language capability. All it does is feel. And the kinds of words that we use when we have those experiences are, it just felt right. It was. I've never experienced anything like that before. You got to just go
right.
there. We can't even talk about it, right? But when we have bad experiences, we absolutely can.
Yeah.
Because it
oh,
lands
yeah.
in the place of logic where language resides. And it's illogical to us that we would pay for something so horrible and so we can talk about it. And
Good
I would
point.
Encourage everyone listening to figure out a way to get to a level of excellence in what you do, product, service, whatever you
right.
do, that people start advocating and coming back because of how it feels for them to
right.
do business with you.
Well, I'll tell you, that's my business operates like that. It is not unusual for me to get referrals from people I've never heard of. But they've heard about me from clients, or you know, they've seen my work, or you know, they've seen people talking about my work or their experience with me, and all of a sudden I'm like, who referred you? Okay, introduce me to that person so I can tell them thank you. I don't
That's
know
right,
who
exactly.
that is. And it's always amazing when that happens, but it's not a rare thing. It does happen. And it's not something
it
that I planned. It does. And it's not something that I planned. I think it's just an outreach, if I'm not even sure that's the right word. It's just the natural outcome of how I conduct business.
Mm-hmm.
And my attitude about my clients and my customers, and, you know, I'll oftentimes help somebody where there's not a dime in it for me. And I'll say, but I want to pay for my time. No, ma'am. Pay it forward.
Mm-hmm.
Refer some
mm-hmm.
to me down the road. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we'll stay in touch, and a year later they may become a client. Maybe not, but
yeah.
you know, they have good thoughts, and that's really all I want.
Because those good thoughts, that positive momentum turns into business. It does.
It does.
It does.
It does. It absolutely does. And people will, and I'm sure they say this to you too, well, I'm not seeing anything immediate. What am I doing wrong? What do you say about that?
Say that question again. I'm sorry.
Yeah, people will say, okay, I'm doing all the right things. I'm doing this social media. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. But I'm not seeing any immediate results. What am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
I hear that all the time.
Great question. Immediate results are fleeting. I had this conversation with a client of mine yesterday. And I said, you know, the reason you are so busy right now is what you were because of the commitment you made 4 months ago. Because of the level of effort and the level of action that you decided to take 4 months ago. When I have clients who say to me, I'm doing all the right things and I'm not getting any immediate response, I say two things. Number one, keep going. Number two, increase your level of output. One of the most detrimental things I ever did to myself in business was to not actually have a full understanding of the level of effort, the level of thinking, and the level of action it would actually take me to get where I wanted to be. You see, I always kind of engaged my business and my output based on what I thought was enough, what I thought would get me somewhere, what I thought would be okay. And so, you know, if I you know, sent a, you know, one tweet out a day or two tweets out a day, or, you know, I banged on five doors, you know, I should, law of averages, I should get one of them, you know, and I would do this and nothing would happen and I would get defeated and down on myself. And it wasn't until I realized that I had no clue what it took to actually gain traction that I said, okay, well, if I'm putting out, you know, two tweets a day, I'm going to put out 20 tweets a day. And if I'm banging on five doors, I'm going to bang on 50 doors. And if I'm making 10 cold calls, I'm going to make 100 cold calls. And I'm going to commit to doing that because at that level, maybe I'll begin to see the result that I think I want now. And you know the magic behind that is that it actually works.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
it does.
So now, When customers or clients say to me, you know, I'm doing all the right things, I'm just not getting any immediate impact, I say increase it by the order of magnitude. And the order of magnitude is a mathematical law that says one number, one integer increased by the order of magnitude is 10 greater. So multiply your efforts by the order of magnitude and watch what happens in your life.
So, yeah, and I think that's brilliant. And I agree with you. I mean, to me, and this is just maybe a simple philosophy, but, Sean, it doesn't make sense to me to get out of bed and not have a really excellent day. And by that, I mean, what is the point? I don't understand why people get up and, oh, God, I'm already tired. I mean, they start their day in this kind of crummy mood. But, you know, to me, every day is a brand-new adventure. Mm-hmm. And I am going to have the best time with it. And, you know, yeah, I may have some, look, as entrepreneurs, we experience failure at some level every day. That's just the way it is. But you don't sit around and go, oh, I'm going to go eat popcorn. You walk around, you go, now what did I learn from that and what can I do differently the next time? And was
it a
catastrophic failure or was it, well, maybe it just wasn't meant to be anyway. But such an adventure, and I don't get why people don't get that. And maybe I'm a simpleton. I don't know.
I know we've only got a minute. Let me just say this. I heard Tony Robbins say one time that he was talking about the owner of, I think it was Federal Express. And essentially the comment was, there are no such things as failures, just differing results. And so I had a client who say to me the other day, you know, I can't believe I failed at this. I said, you didn't fail at it. You just didn't get the result you wanted. So you got a result. Now, so what can we do to create the result you want? Because we know the result you don't want and how to create that. So you didn't fail. Mm-hmm. You just got a differing result. So everyone listening, there is no such thing as failure, just differing results. Now what are we going to do about it?
I like that much better than mine. Listen, we only have 10 seconds. Tell people where they can find you again.
Twitter is at the Sean Moffett, SEANMOFFETT, themoffettcompany.com. YouTube is Sean Moffett, search it. And Facebook, the Sean Moffett, Google+, check me there.
Wonderful. You know I'm going to ask you to come back.
I would love to.
Okay. Sometimes I think, okay, I'm going to say that, and they're going to say, no, I don't want to.
Anytime,
and then I'll have to just completely delete the recording.
I would love to, Denise. It would be a total thrill for me to do that.
Thank you. I mean, I love chatting with you. And listen, every time I talk with you, I come away with my brain on fire. And I love what you just said about Tony Robbins because, you know, I have been looking at, and I'm changing my mind as we speak. I have looked at these little series of failures that happen during the day as failures. I look at them as lessons, but you just taught me to reframe that, and I'm very thankful for that.
My pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, listen, thank you so much. I'll call you in just a little bit. I have an idea I want to talk to you about. But listen, thank you for being here. Everybody, the show will be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and the Sean Moffitt wishing you a wonderful weekend, and I will see you next week. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.